He said, he looked at my head. He said, ah, Oga, no go Europe. The winter has jammed you twice. Your hair is going. Now, so I'm trying to explain something here. There are some things are natural. That's what Paul was saying. And that they show what God designed for things to be. Now, please, I hope I'm not talking too much. I hope what I'm saying, you guys are understanding it. That when he was describing all these things, he was talking about appearance. Therefore, now, in the customs they had then, all right? In the customs that they had, a woman was known as being under authority, as being subject to her husband by how her hair was covered when she appeared in public. You still find it till today in certain places. What I'm saying that is that it might vary from place to place. Let me give you an example. One of the things I told my wife is that I said, for the kind of society I am in, I don't think it's appropriate. Your wife wants to greet you in public. And I told her something public. It matters. Do you understand? Pastor Hano, let me tell you the truth. It's not right. Now, let me say something to you. One of the things that we'll understand about life is that sometimes people get used to that which is not correct. Do you follow what I'm saying? But when they see that which is right, they notice it and they like it. Let's take respect as an example. I didn't know Yorubas were very respectful until I went to school in Benin. I'm a Yoruba man, you know. In fact, one day I was in Benin, went to my friend's house, and my son went, so he was greeting him, and he prostrated. The guy said, ah, banky, banky. You've taught him already. Do you understand? He prostrated to greet him. But the guy said, ah, banky, banky. You've already taught him. Now, when I was entered school then, I noticed that one day I was actually in a bus. I sat down. And it was in intra-campus, because UniBen was quite a big campus. So we had buses that ran only on campus, just ran around the campus constantly. You know the way you see that abroad in UniBen then? That's the way it was. They were school buses that just ran around campus. They never stopped. They just kept moving around. You just jump in and jump off. You buy tickets. And you enter, you pay, you drop one of the tickets, you buy tickets, you know, stuff like that. You know? And a man entered. He looked for where to sit. He didn't see. He just took one boy and threw him up the seat. And sat down. He said, foolish boy. He said, this is why I like Yoruba people. If it was a Yoruba boy now, he would know that his elders entered the bus. You didn't notice that? That is, he noticed, even though his own people didn't practice it, he knew it was a good thing. Believe me, I stood up in the bus in Houston, Texas, for an elderly lady to sit down. And people say, oh, very nice of you. Now, get to my point. This was amongst Americans. An elderly lady entered the bus, and she had to stand. I just gently got up from my seat. Man, please, sit here. And, you know, even though they are typical black boy, probably wouldn't do it. Yo, mama, are you standing there? That's probably what he would say. Maybe he wouldn't do it. But when they saw, of course, they would know this one is not an American boy. He's a bloody African boy. It has to be for him to remember this kind of thing. I'm trying to say something. People notice a correct thing when they see it. They do. As part of this, when my wife greets me in public, she genuflects. I'm serious about that. She just greeted me downstairs just now. After we just greeted, I just gave her a hug. After that, she genuflected. Good afternoon, sir. No, well, she didn't say good afternoon, sir. I'm just saying that one. No, really. You know, the reason is that it's proper. Oh, did this somebody do it? No. Just what we are saying here. We set the standards of the world. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah, we do. And that's exactly what Paul was teaching. I'm saying that so in the practices you find in places, he was trying to show that in this practice here, this is how responsible women behave. And that will be noted amongst us as believers. People will come and copy examples from us. Now, he said something. Let me just highlight a few more points so that we can go on to something else. I think I've already explained the fact that he said it clearly. It's clear here that what he was talking about was in public order of worship. He said, therefore, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Let me give you just another practical example here. In our modern day, it's customary for women to wear wedding bands. Do you understand? Now, later on, the Nazi, everybody now does it, you know, men and women. Do you get my point? But if a man doesn't wear, it's not a big deal. I don't wear because I outgrew the one that I had. Do you get my point? But you know, if my wife outgrows her one, she'll get another one. Sharp, sharp. That is no wasting of time. Because it's almost like a symbol. Do you? I hope what I'm saying is clear. That's the kind of thing Paul was saying. That no, it is not right. A woman cannot appear. Say, no, I'm not. God doesn't look on the outside, looks only on the inside. So he throws away her wedding bands and moving around town. He doesn't speak well. Now, there's something he said here. He said, if she was not going to be covered, then let her be shaved. Now, I read somewhere that's what he was saying, in effect, is that only women who are under punishment, maybe like one of the customs they had in some of the European countries, was that if a woman was caught in adultery, this cut off her hair, scraped it off, sometimes stripped off her clothes, and drove her out of the house naked. That was punishment. The Jews will stone you. Do you know what I'm saying? But the rest of the people, that's what they did. And that's what Paul was saying, that, okay, it's the same thing as if you have become one of the, you know, and if I read another commentary, he explained that only people who were absolutely, let me use the word, free, went around. You know, some of these I say will copy these days. Me, I've just said some of them are not good. I see some funny habits. A woman just appears and her hair is scraped. They use low cuts like a man. But I'm not giving laws on thou shalt not. At least you've gotten the point I'm trying to make, spirit behind things. I don't know why on earth I will start that kind of habit. I don't know why. Number one, in our culture, only those who are mourning do it. Do you follow what I'm saying? Apart from that, every other person who's doing it should prove to me that I'm lying. You copy the musician or a model. If I am lying, please come and challenge me. That you saw a woman that she was not mourning and did not copy a musician or a model. Normally, you see, some people just give you the liberty. Those are the things we are saying. We take examples from people that have the kind of liberties we don't want. I don't know whether you get the point. When I say you don't want, until you enjoy their kind of liberty, you don't know the kind of liberty that they have, you know, by enjoy. You will suffer. You know, some of the things that we call bondage is actually security. We think it's bondage, but it's what? Security, yes. We think it's bondage. Look, I have to be very careful. In fact, please, don't copy a musician. When you see somebody, model, don't copy. Please, one person should not copy. He's a model. What's his name? Gianni Versace was a homosexual. She was telling women how to wear clothes. You know Versace. Versace was a homosexual. What right did he have telling women how to dress? Well, we'll collect one small spaghetti from here. Tie macaroni to it. Indomie noodles on the back. I said, what are you wearing? I'm wearing a Versace. Jesus, you don't know what you are saying. And you see one infertile girl walking up and down on the catwalk. And you give her a name. What's the name of that black funny one looking? I don't know her name, Sha. No, not Naomi Campbell. Naomi Campbell, you don't chop up now. You don't fat up. I mean, there's another one from one of these African countries. I need to look at that girl. This is what you call fine. All of you must be mad. Abolo hair. For information, it is forbidden under God for a woman to be that thing. Medically, it has been found that 50% of mothers are infertile because you need a critical body mass to process a baby. That is why, look, please, don't let this world teach you what is right. Don't let this world teach you what is right. I like the fact that I have a reputation of certain quarter that I'm very stubborn in the way I do my things. Yes, I like it. Some of the people you are copying, if you know their problem, oh God. They have ulcer upon ulcer. They can't sleep well. They take Valium at night to sleep and take coffee in the morning to wake up and take and occasionally small cocoa before they appear on that catwalk that you are seeing. They need a little bit of cocoa rubbed. You know how they take cocoa, you rub it inside your mouth, absorb it quick. Some of them need it. So you think it is bold? People use them things that they are, say, fella used to speak about against societal ills. I say, fella, if you smoke the size of rap he used to smoke, you will speak against God. All this stuff that you are saying. You smoke like fella, you will speak against God. Oh, the Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. What happens sometimes in society is that people who under proper customs will have been labeled as harlots are now celebrated. Therefore, their standards become normal in the society. I tell my wife, she wears trousers. I said, come, may I see your young chest? Is it showing? If it's showing, go back inside. Go and cover it. God bless you. I'm not saying you don't wear trousers. I didn't say don't wear trousers. But you go walk up as may I look first? Once I see your young chest, show for inside trousers. Go back inside. You had to wear a very long top to cover it. Or you go and wear labu. Labu is very godly. Imagine you wearing under Zest trouser. For what? I'm going to participate in the attire of a harlot. What are you telling me? I beg. That's what they said. Stop buying in the market. I've heard girls like, have that argument. This is what is sold now. Oh, boy, then go to Taylor. Taylor will measure you and do your own appropriate. Do you follow the point I'm making? No, I'm sorry. That's what Paul was explaining. He was talking about reflecting authority here. That's what exactly what he was saying. So I've adapted. Let me just quickly leave that so I can go on to something else. I've quickly adapted something here to let you understand something. That he was talking about customs and what appears okay in the presence of people. Are you getting my point? And that I've summarized it by saying that we should be careful that we're not copying that which has become normal in the eyes of everybody but are basically not correcting themselves. And that it's our responsibility as believers to bring up the standards. We reflect God's standards. Do you get me? And then people copy us. Let me tell you something. What is good? Eventually, everybody will copy it. Every good person will eventually copy that which is good. Have I explained something or two? Verse 17. But in giving this instruction, I've left that matter. Now I'm on something else. I do not praise you because you come together not for the better but for the worse. He was now talking about communion. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you, and in part, I believe it. Now, if you notice something, please, let me just say this. You will notice that I did not make a law now that, please, so before you appear in the church of God, your hair must be covered. Do you get my point? But if you are going to appear on a pulpit that I supervise, you can't use low cut. I'm serious. As a woman, you can't. And let me add this one to you. I won't even accept you without earrings. All this Christianity that say women don't wear earrings and wear jewelry to me is crazy. You cannot stand on my stage without properly being attired. If you start looking like a man who's lost and you're a woman, I won't accept that one. No, I won't. You come with no makeup on your face, no earrings in your ears, I will drive you away. Earrings are cheap. You say I don't have money, go and buy 20 naira one. I'll give you 20 naira, walk across. No, I know what I'm saying. I don't think a responsible woman, the way I understand it, should appear looking like a lost man. Yes. No, I'm serious. You get my point? Yes. That's the way I see it. One thing I left out is that you notice that he said a woman's hair is given to her as a covering. Somebody analyzed it to me years ago when we were in school. That when he talked about, he said, verse 15, he said, but if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her as a covering. That is not every time the woman needs to literally use a cloth. If she has hair that is long, all right, enough to serve, she can use it in that their own context. Now, that's what I'm saying. Listen, I'm one person that, the kind of thing I believe sometimes I practice, people would be like, which kind of human being you be? If your hair is scattered as a woman, you can't stand. If I'm part of a church, you can't. If you come near my pulpit, I'll flog you. I'll take permission from your husband. Maybe I should flog your husband for allowing you to leave the house like that if I can't flog you directly. I'm serious. You're looking like all the problems of this world are on your shoulder. You don't have money for expensive. I'm not saying you should do it. In fact, just go to Nanka and say, do me 200 naira braids. I'm going. I'm serious. If my wife wears squeeze cloth, come off her house. Now, me, she the abuse. Nobody there that say, no adult day your house. Now, they go tell you. Come, you come here, come here. No adult day your house when they come up. They're not going to say this shit squeeze. No, please, I'm saying this because if you know that, it's as if I left that issue without making commitment of, okay, so everybody wants to pray and prophesy. No. There's a sense of what I'm trying to say. I'm not going to adapt a custom that will speak differently. Do you get my point? At this point, no. But I'm showing you some examples. There are things that are befitting of godly women. And that's what we are saying. Are you getting my point? And this is Pastor Banky's personal opinion. Going without earrings and looking decent is not befitting of a godly woman as far as I am concerned. You can go to deeper life and go and disagree. What you see? That is real. To me, it's befitting of suffering women. Amen? No, it's not. It's not an agreement with godliness. Like you are mourning for your sin. Which day will God forgive you? Which sin is it? Did I tell you the story of it's my phone. Did I tell you the story of one day? Lester Sumrall said he was on a boat. He and one other missionary. They're gonna be on the boat for weeks. Those days that it's not now that you take a flight and 6 hours later you've crossed the Atlantic. They're gonna be there for weeks. So he said, okay, yeah, I'm a preacher. I'm also a preacher. Well, let's just be meeting every morning and sharing word. So you do first. Me, I do next. You do first. So they were there with their wives, just two couples. So the first day, the man came and said, he's preached one short sermon and then started praying. Say, God, we know that we are sinners. We're always sinning. We can't help but sin. Please forgive us of our sins. Well, you know, we are sinners by nature. He said, oh, that this man, something must be wrong with him. Let me give him an example. Next morning, he started to pray. He said, Lord, we thank you for the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you because of your power that's working out. Like he prayed a very powerful, righteous man's prayer. He thought the man would learn. The next day, the man came again. Quoted some long, fantastic sermons from other preachers. And time to pray. Lord, you know we are sinners. We cannot help but sin. We are always sinners. So we are always sinning. It's just we are asking for your mercy against our sin. It's a summer, we'll go out and go and take fresh air. Next day, he will come, improve his own prayer, just as to teach the other man. By the third day that the man prayed, he was a sinner prayer, he couldn't take it anymore. He called the man to the side. He said, excuse me, sir. This sin that you're always committing, I really want to know. Because there are only two women on this boat. One is my wife, yours, or the other one is yours. So how you are managing to commit this sin that you can't help but commit? I really don't understand. There's some reason the man has said that. No, really, it's not as if he does anything wrong. Yes, that's the way he knows to pray. Say, which kind of prayer is that one? The one that made me laugh in the whole story was that the man said, look, this is your honest committee. There are only two women on this boat. One is your wife, one is mine. So how do you go out to go and be committing sin? Where? Mommy, water or what? Oh, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Okay, then I was just trying to add that one up. So let's stop behaving as if, you know, people say that in the wilderness, God told the women, remove all your jewelry. I said, was it not because they sinned? Have you built an idol? When you finish building an idol, you need to remove your own. Okay, so what are them that now you have built an idol? So when will God forgive you of this your sin? I'm not talking about that one now, but I'm just giving my personal opinion, and it's formed on certain reasons. Okay? A woman is supposed to be a glory. Do you get my point? It's a manifestation of what is beauty. Beautiful. Stop looking like a lost man. Do you get my point? I don't think it's right. I don't think it is godly. That's my opinion. And you yourself know it. When you watch TV, the woman without her makeup, anything, and without jewelry at all, doesn't look as righteous as the one that's decently and modestly dressed. You agree with me? If you agree with me, say amen now. Amen. Let people hearing this know I'm not alone. So nobody even agreed with him where he was teaching it. The Lord is good. Now let's go into that. I think I was in verse 19. Okay, 17. No, yes, I started reading. Except for in the first place, 18. When you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you, and in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions amongst you, in order that those who are approved may have become evident among you. Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating, each one takes his own supper first, and one is hungry and the other is drunk. What? Do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? And do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? Now, please, let me just quickly run through this. I'll go down to verse 24. And when he had given thanks, we're talking about the... from verse 23. He said, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. That was trying to say die. For if we judge ourselves rightly, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord in order that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If any is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you may not come together for judgment. And the remaining matters I shall arrange when I come. Let me stop in verse chapter 11. Now, what he was talking about here, I don't want to go into details about it. About that, some other things he said, like he shared a few mysteries about the body of Christ and the communion table. But what he was saying is, was the way people arrange themselves. That, you know, I said something before, that what we experience outwardly is a reflection of what is going on inside. Do you understand? The communion table was what he was discussing, how people used to desecrate the communion table of God by their attitude towards one another. Because the communion is supposed to be shared in fellowship, and it's a reflection of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that they have all believed in. Do you get my point? But what they are having is that people now had factions. No, you can't eat from this table. Go and eat from the other table. Do you get what I'm saying? And he was speaking in that context when he was talking about not judging the body rightly. He was talking about having divisions and enmity amongst them while supposedly partaking of the body of Christ. He said in verse 27, all right, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, again, like I say, always read things in context. That unworthy manner that he was talking about is in when the person does not rightly judge, like he said in verse 29, the body of Christ, and sticks to factions and divisions, and says, no, you can't partake of this cup because you are not one of us. Meanwhile, the person is a believer. That's what he was actually specifically addressing. That it becomes a problem, which manifests actually in physical problems in the lives of the people. When they partake of the communion table, and there are still divisions amongst them. Are you getting the point I'm making? And that's what he was talking about. That if it is a matter of food to eat, that this thing is not meant to feed you till you are full. Because what they used to do, of course, some people will have too much to eat, others will not get anything. That when it comes to eating together in the matter of the communion, each person must take a bit of it. If it is hunger, satisfy it at home before you come. Are you getting me? Let me just say something. It's so important we understand this because, though, like I said something earlier, I don't want to go into the details of the mysteries behind that. Maybe we'll get to that another time. But Paul was just trying to correct their attitude. But it's so important for us to understand that physical things are manifestations of that which is what? Spiritual. Do you understand what I'm saying? And he said that when people don't handle this matter properly, at the end of the day, he said, for this reason, verse 30, for this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number die. That's what he was saying. Saying number sleep. Do you get what I'm saying? You know, I said something, I think was on, we're still going to continue about it on Saturday, talking about what's inside the heart, the prince of this world coming and not having nothing in us. That's what we've been emphasizing. And here we're talking about that divisive spirit, that spirit that separates brother from brother, sister from sister. People believing that there are factions, some people are better than the other, and they are all supposed to be of the body of Christ. He said that thing actually causes people to become physically sick and may make them die physically. Are you getting the point I'm making? I want to just draw something there because, you know, I always say that life is spiritual. Some of these people have become very ill here, and a number of them have died. They didn't link it to the fact that it was because they were champions of division in the body of Christ. If you're a preacher, I always say something. You just have to be very, very careful. You have to be very careful because some things God does not take, you know, lightly. So one of the things that God hates is anyone who spreads enmity amongst brethren. And you say God hates something. doesn't believe it, it means he hates it. All right? Please, let me just leave that one there. I don't want to say speak for that. I want to leave this matter. There are certain things we'll still come back to later. All right? In other writings of Paul. And we have discussed enough revelations in this First Corinthians. And I want to go on to things that we may not find in other places. All right? Like that First Corinthians chapter 12. I will begin from that one next time. Let me just close today's one. All right? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good.